Hello, Brewery Fanatics, and welcome back to another episode of Brewery Travels, which is now a part of the SodaPod Network. I'm your host, Joel Geyer, otherwise known as Brewery Travels on social media. And today we are going back down to the Peach State. One of the earliest episodes we did was on Atlanta, if you've been a longtime listener. But now we are going to Athens, which some of you may be familiar with some of the breweries there, which maybe you don't realize that's where they're from. But either way, we are going to dive into the local scene there. And as always, I have two amazing guests with me, Owen and Brandon. And so let's go ahead and get the ball rolling, guys, first by just kind of doing a brief introduction about what got you into beer and how you're part of the beer community, Owen.
Well, I taught high school biology for 29 years almost, and every summer I would go to Europe because I just fell in love with Europe. And I started going to pubs in different countries and realizing, why is the beer so different in England with these weird hand pump taps than it is in Belgium and Germany? And why is the beer so much better in Europe than it is back home? This was like in 1988, you know, 85. And I got fascinated with beer, started at home brewing, started reading everything I could, started doing beer tastings in Athens at the Globe Bar upstairs, where people were like shocked and blown away by a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. You know, one guy said, "This makes my mouth angry. How do you drink this? It's got so much flavor." And now people, you know, consider that just to be a nice quaffable, you know, basic beer. So I had a homebrew shop in Athens for 3 years, met all my good friends through the homebrew shop, had a fantastic time, started running the Classic City Brewfest, and it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I know we're going to dive into some of that stuff later on here, but Brandon, what about yourself?
I think for me early on, I was kind of lucky enough to turn 21 right as the industry here in Georgia really started kind of exploding in the mid 2000s, 2010s specifically. But my biggest thing that really kickstarted it for me was just it honestly back, you know, 2013, 2014 blew my mind that you could go buy a mixed six pack at your local bottle shop and you could just taste six completely different beers. And in my, you know, super, super early beer days, that was just honestly the thing that drew me in was, wow, this IPA does not taste like this stout, does not taste like this Pilsner, does, you know, and that curiosity really kind of got the best of me. And just kind of fast forwarding my whole kind of background and entry into the industry was through writing. I did my master's thesis on Georgia beer history. And then ever since I finished grad school, I've been an active writer, now Georgia content editor for PortraitandKing.com. And then, you know, now as of April 2021, I'm the assistant brewer at a brewery here in Athens, Authentic Brewing, which is funny because I always make the joke that, you know, I'm like the one work guy who got a production job who, you know, barely can count, but we make it work. It's all functional. But that's really just kind of the intro short bit into how I got into craft beer.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's awesome. And we'll definitely, I'm sure we'll get to hear more about your experience as part of the beer community there from both, you know, running perspective and actually being someone who works at a brewery. But so I mentioned in the intro that there are probably some names that people are familiar with. And the most recognized name is probably Terrapin, which was, you know, started back in 2002. You know, they rose to national prominence, partially due to the sale to Miller Coors, of course. And so going back, I actually found one article from 2016 that was particularly kind of scathing on the decision, because I know at one point they sold a partial amount and said they weren't going to do like a majority. And then, of course, later on, they would sell the majority to Miller Coors. And so I'm kind of curious what that brand has actually meant over time to Athens and just to Georgia as a whole. And then the second part to that is how the perception has changed from pre-sale to kind of immediately post-sale after the news broke to kind of now current day, Brandon.
I definitely think Owen will probably have a little bit even more insight to this, but my kind of two cents real quick is just that, yeah, I mean, Terrapin, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, the beer walls in Georgia were still kind of funky, and they, you know, even with all of that on the table, just started doing what they were doing and doing a great job at it. And they certainly got to the point of making, you know, tons of beer even before the sellout. Their instance was a little peculiar. I don't know, honestly, you know, how much of it is kind of general common knowledge and whatnot. But their sellout, like you mentioned a little bit, it was almost, and, you know, pretty much was kind of like a hostile takeover. They made that initial sell to try to ramp up production with the hopes of, oh, well, you know, we'll hit these marks. And then if that didn't happen, from what I've been told, it was in the cards of, oh, well, if you don't hit these marks, we can just buy another little piece and another little piece. And it was kind of a, you know, kind of tripping over yourself from the get-go, but, you know, felt good about making it work. Obviously, Rye Pale Ale was a huge deal, you know, back then out the gate. Now it's a yearly release that people still to this day, you know, really kind of go crazy for here in town. But I've always thought that their situation was pretty interesting because it was definitely far from just, you know, check chasing like a lot of folks do. Obviously, a lot of the people that have done that in the past, you know, there's always two sides to the coin. A lot of times, even, you know, the most avid fan will, you know, kind of fall on one side of the coin or the other about the sellout and whatnot. But I do think that their situation was one that was really kind of interesting to kind of see the impacts of, both immediately and long lasting.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, that's an interesting point. That's not something that I was familiar with, and I was, you know, looking into it, and it may not have been something that was as publicized, but Owen, what are your thoughts on kind of Terrapin, kind of their rise, as well as how they've been perceived locally now since all this has kind of happened?
In 2001, John Cochran from Terrapin came to me and said, hey, I want to put our Rye Pale Ale in the Classic City Brewfest and premiere it there. We're really proud of it. And I said, what's Terrapin? You know, tell me about you. And they were contract brewing at the time. So we got them on board and got them a beautiful booth there. And the beer was a huge hit instantly. And then it won a gold medal, you know, out of many, many, many American pale ales in the Great American Beer Festival in 2002, I think. That put them on the map. So they're a great pioneering brewery. They've done a lot for beer education in Athens and educating consumers. And I have so many people say, wow, drinking these beers at Terrapin has taught me so much. And doing the brewery tour at Terrapin was my first brewery tour, and it was fantastic. You know, and I really, the sale just doesn't really resonate with me. It doesn't really matter to me. I still love the guys. I still enjoy what they put out. They are working hard for the community and for the environment. If you go out to Terrapin, you'll see they're striving to be a zero, you know, having a zero a negative impact on the environment. The whole roof is covered in solar panels. They've got wastewater treatment. They've got recycling in every aspect they can possibly do. So I'm proud of the guys, and you got to do what you got to do to hang in there and keep going. And I think Athens as a whole just says, you know, what the hell? Let's just keep going to Terrapin, keep drinking and having fun. And they're just still pretty happy with them.
Yeah, no, that's really good points. And I think from like when these sales that, you know, for a long time have been kind of a trendy topic, especially, you know, on like beer Twitter. And for the most part, it's a vocal minority that, you know, kind of debates this on both sides of the coin, whereas mm-hmm. most beer drinkers just, they're not paying attention to this at all. And I used to be someone that used to care a lot about the independent thing. And I still prefer to, you know, I really only go to support independent breweries, but I also have not had a brewery here in Milwaukee that has gone through that process of being bought out yet. And so if one of my favorite breweries here in Milwaukee has that, I don't, you know, that will be a different stage of me dealing with this particular type of question, because it is an interesting one. And I think it does kind of almost go from brewery to brewery in terms of how they actually handle the sale, and then, you know, do things actually change? Because depending on the brewery, some people will say, oh, the beer's different. Some people say, no, the beer isn't different. So it is an interesting question, and you cannot deny that Terrapin has grown, and they're a name that most people know. And the other name that I think people may be somewhat familiar with, at least, is Creature Comforts. It's one that I'm at least familiar with and is on my wish list of places to be able to visit eventually. and they came around back in 2014. So, Owen, how much has the beer scene changed since they came onto the scene, and are they responsible for that? And kind of how has Creature Comforts grown to what they are today?
Creature Comforts has managed to reach a huge audience in Athens, mainly because they've got a beautiful, welcoming, cozy tap room downtown. And we haven't had a brewery downtown Athens since the two early brew pubs closed, Athens Brewing Company and Copper Creek. And that was a long time ago. So it's fantastic to go to downtown Athens and smell, beer brewing. It just does my heart good. To experience that and to go down there and try all the different things. They're so creative. The scene since they've come on board is much more evolved and much more widespread and more mainstream. So and they do a lot of good community connections. They give a lot to charities in the community. They help out community programs. And I'm just pretty happy with what Creature Comforts has accomplished. And thanks to a little bit to my just begging them over and over and over again and seeing what the cask bar at Brick Store in Decatur has done. They've actually put on a hand pump tap at Creature Comforts just to see how it would go over. And I'm really happy about that because I love cask ale. And I think the response has been tremendous, even better than they were hoping for.
Did they put a nameplate for you on there to say, in response to Owen or anything like that?
they should, if not. Right. We all need to have
Nope.
Yeah.
But I did get to go out and do a cask ale seminar for the whole staff one day, and that was really fun.
We have a brewery. There's a brewery up just a little ways from here, one of the other towns here, a little over an hour from Milwaukee, that does a lot of cask ales too that I enjoy. And there's one in Seattle I just went to that only does cask ales. So it's becoming, there's more breweries that are dipping their toe in that water at least. But Brandon, what are your thoughts on kind of Creature Comforts and how they've kind of evolved and become a mainstay as a part of the Athens beer community?
Yeah, I mean, I think, they made a huge splash initially, and they have certainly kept just kind of making ripples ever since then. It seems like now, they have 6-year round beers, which for any brewery is like a pretty, big milestone to hit in terms of having it, readily available in cans, kegs around town. Anywhere you go, they're going to have at least two of those beers everywhere. Also, though, I just think that the coolest draw that they have now is that, and Owen, you might have to correct my year here. I believe it was back in 2018 or 19, they built a pretty damn big production facility a couple streets outside of downtown.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now the downtown location, the Snow Tire facility, it's really cool. They kind of not necessarily do their own thing, but they very much get to be a little bit more kind of creative with the stuff that they put on tap. Because they have this, kind of big sister producing all of their kind of mainstay beers, getting all the production, marks hit and sent out. And like Owen mentioned, they've, started having cask on. They have a Luker slow pour faucet, just kind of some interesting things like that, for a long time, that was the place to go drink their beer. And it still very much is, especially the place of downtown. But it's cool to be able to see them kind of do a little bit more kind of one-offs on their, quote, like small system, which is a bigger, system than a lot of places have. But it's just been really cool to kind of see them grow and, definitely stay true here. They are in the process still, I believe, of opening that spot out in LA. But it's been cool to see them take the production upshift, but then still kind of experiment at the downtown spot.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and Brandon, so this next question may be a good one for you too, since you are currently working in the industry, but outside of those two that we already mentioned, how do the other breweries kind of, start to contribute to forming the beer scene within Athens? And you can also extend this beyond, and include other breweries kind of more in some of the smaller rural towns around the area as well.
Yeah, we currently have six in town. There's Creature, Terrapin that we've talked about. Academia is our solo brew pub in town, which is a really cool thing that they're able to do is have, a full menu alongside their beers. Morgan Wireman up there. He makes some killer beers to go with that food. We have Southern Brewing Company, which also has a second location in Monroe, which is, 20 minutes outside of Athens, in terms of talking about just kind of how both expansion and just the surrounding areas and whatnot. And then there's us again, Authentic Brewing and Normal Town Brewing. Both of us were definitely the kind of new kids on the block, still pretty new, 2 years or so old. And so, I think that the good thing that we're doing, not to necessarily talk us up, more than anyone else, we do at Authentic, we do a pretty good job of having a lot of local events, having a lot of bands and music, which, Terrapin also still has for so long had a very thriving music scene. And, they have the space now where they can put on, pretty big headlining shows. But in general, once you leave Athens, depending on the town, there's certainly places for growth around Athens. But there was also, a few places, like I mentioned, Monroe, and headed up to Gainesville and Duluth that have, some killer breweries and also just plenty of people there, for people to open breweries potentially as well.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and so Owen, what is kind of your take on kind of how these other breweries are kind of forming a beer scene? And you obviously have been around and kind of followed and helped kind of almost cultivate the scene to a certain extent, where, back as you mentioned, the beer was very different back in the 80s and 90s. And now you're looking at now
Right.
what Athens has kind of almost developed into, this mid-sized city in Georgia that now has several breweries that are all kind of doing different things to kind of make this scene a true beer scene.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with the mosaic that's going on with the breweries in Athens. Each one has their own particular personality. Each one just brings something totally different to the table. Which just they meld together to make a really nice beer landscape in Athens. Authentic has beautiful true styles, classic styles, a great vibe. It's just such a cool place to go hang out. It's so welcoming. Southern Brewing Company is a much loved favorite that's been around a long time. Huge outdoor space. People love to hang out there in the outdoors, hear concerts, sit outside. Academia is wonderful. Morgan's beers are fantastic. The food is good. The facility, people walk in and it's much bigger than they thought. It's in an old musician's warehouse store. And Matt Casey, the owner, has just put his whole heart and soul into it to make it beautiful. And we've already talked about Terrapin and Creature being so cool. Normal Town is really small, tiny, fun. It's a nano brewery. It's really welcoming. It's cool to go there. I've got a friend who lives right next door. And he said it's a double-edged sword because every time he walks past, people are like, "Hey, Pete, come on in and drink a beer." And he's like, "Oh God, I just want to go home." But he gets sucked into Normal Town because it's just so much fun there. So they all the breweries come together in different ways to make Athens really a special beer scene.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, and that's one reason that I like to do, these podcasts are not just about highlighting the main beer cities that people think of when they think of craft beer in America. It's showcasing that pretty much everywhere's got good beer and they have, quality breweries in every corner of the country. And so now moving on, I kind of want to talk a little bit more about like local perspective and kind of quote unquote like marketing. And Owen, I recently saw that, the Athens Beer Trail was kind of designed. So is there any information that you have on that, on kind of how that kind of came to fruition and if that's had an impact at all on the community?
Yeah, my good friend Sachin Patel, who was the owner of Five Points Bottle Shops, came up with a great idea with Dustin Watts at Terrapin to do an Athens beer video because there are Athens music videos out there, Athens cultural videos, Athens educational videos. But he really wanted to do a short video showing people on YouTube about how cool Athens is to come and drink beer and go to the breweries. So we got together and we put that video together and it turned out fantastic. It's called Beer the Athens Way. You can watch it on YouTube. It's only like 8 minutes long,
I'll
but
go do that.
it's really professionally done and it's just a wonderful video. And visitors like coming to Athens because of the video, but then the Chamber of Commerce said, "Hey, let's do a little field guide." So when people come to the breweries, they can pick up this field guide and they can see the map and they can see where the breweries are. And it encourages people to go see all the breweries. And once you fill out the little field guide at each brewery, you take it to the Chamber of Commerce, and they give you this nice, beautiful, big Athens beer mug to take home. So people have really enjoyed this. I've been out and seen people there from, you know, Wisconsin and Florida and Texas and all over the place who just saw the Athens Beer Trail and saw the, you know, Beer the Athens Away on YouTube. And they just came out and said, hey, we're just going to come out and hang out for a week. And the main thing that brought them here were, you know, the breweries.
Yeah, I just had to throw in Wisconsin as a little like temptation, like, hey, like right. You up there in Milwaukee, you got to come down here. And episode, it'll definitely have to be something for me to do. And oh, and I also wanted to kind of follow up with that, you know, talking about how beer is marketed and going back to you talking about how you with like Classic City Brewfest and how that came to be. I'd like to hear a little bit of the background of that and more about the history and how that all evolved over time for you.
Again, I made a lot of friends with the homebrew shop I owned for 3 years. The tastings I did at the Globe were huge eye openers for people. So many people would come and they never had a Belgian ale before. They never had an IPA before. So this was really the early days back then. So it was once a struggle, and now I can't keep up. You know, there are breweries opening in Georgia every month. That I have not heard of. I don't know the people. I don't know what kind of beer they're making. Whereas back in the day, I used to know every brewer, every brewery, every single beer, you know, by heart. I just can't do it anymore. So it's impressive growth that's happened on an exponential scale. And my hope is that Georgia breweries will just keep sight of what real beer is. You know, sometimes I go to a brewery and they've got all these kettle sours and lactose beers and peanut butter beers and so forth. And, you know, that's okay. That's got its place. But I still want to see breweries making great classic styles, because that's what I fell in love with. And I still think that's the greatest beer in the world, or the old school classic beer. So I just want to, I want people to see those as special and keep those alive, which I think I'm seeing happening now. The pendulum is starting to swing that way again, thankfully.
Yeah, well, and one thing I've noticed too is there seems to be, because there's now so many breweries, there's a lot of breweries that obviously just try to, you know, they kind of do a little bit of everything, but there seems to be more breweries that specialize, and I've been to quite a few like lager centric where all they do is lager, you know, a place like a place like Dovetail in Chicago or Chuckanut out in Washington, that all they do is make award-winning lagers that just win medal after medal. And then you do have the hype breweries, you know, places that are doing the fruited sours and the pastry stouts and double dry hop tasty IPAs, but that there seems to be a little more, there are still breweries that do some of everything, but because there's so many breweries, it kind of allows breweries to kind of specialize almost. And Brandon, what are your thoughts then on, I know we kind of talked about a few different things there with Owen, but the Athens Beer Trail was kind of the original question. And as someone that works at a brewery and covers the beer scene, I'm sure that you have kind of had some form of relationship with that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I was on with Owen on that project as well, just kind of being the, you know, it's a weird thing being almost 30 and the historian on stuff. I feel like every time you get, you know, labeled as the historian, you got to be, you know, a little older than that, but it is what it is, I guess, at this point. Yeah, it was cool, though. It was actually kind of funny. I was involved in that capacity, and also my wife, her former company is the one who got tagged to kind of develop the like marketing aspect of it, which was, you know, so I was kind of getting both sides of the project, both the content and the kind of design aspect of it. But at the end of the day, it's all, you know, there for to drive tourism, which, you know, this town does a really good job of. And also just, you know, it's like any other southern college campus, especially this time of year in the fall when, you know, on Saturdays there's an extra 100,000 people in the city. It definitely can go a long way in terms of getting, you know, those people who might live in Atlanta, might live, you know, somewhere else in Georgia. It's not a far drive. They come up for a UGA game and all of a sudden, you know.
Do SEC fans drink beer?
They do, believe
me. Okay. I was just double checking, because up here in Big Ten country, they definitely do. I just double checking.
They do.
And some of them drink good beer too.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
and a lot of them too, hopefully. But kind of how Owen was mentioning, it is kind of a double-edged sword almost of having the six breweries here, because none of them are that far from each other. So it's very possible. Like, I have a friend actually who her and her husband had some friends in town, and they went and did all six in the day, which also, you know, we have Uber, so do it responsibly, please. But it's a cool thing, you know, it's something that you can make, and, you know, anything from an afternoon, go have a beer in every place, to doing overnight, hit three on Friday, and, mm-hmm. you know, stick around Friday night and hit the other three on Saturday and get your mug and take it back to the house. You know, but the cool thing about that Athens Beer Trail is that it's, you know, still a relatively new thing, and there's definitely only kind of growth for it. You know, hopefully at some point in the next year, 2-3 years, it'll go from being, you know, six of us here to 10, 12, whatever it'll wind up being, you know?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, and like I said, if I ever get down there, you can bet that if I have the two nights there, I will make sure to bring home my mug. You both have kind of mentioned, you know, talking about statewide beer, like Georgia beer as a whole, and Atlanta is obviously kind of the hub for everything within the state. It's one of the largest metro areas in the country, and obviously they have the most breweries in that particular area. But once you step outside of Atlanta, kind of the two cities with what you could quote unquote call beer scenes, where, you know, there are several breweries, would be Athens and Savannah. So Brandon, what would you say the beer scene in Georgia overall, like, how has that evolved over time, and where do you see it going in the future?
Yeah, so, you know, historically speaking, which I won't, you know, bore all of your listeners with, but, you know, it's still very much a kind of...
Listeners here like to listen to the history stuff too, don't worry about it.
Fair enough. So, you know, just the quick 5-minute elevator pitch of my thesis. Basically, you know, before Prohibition ever started, which in Georgia was actually 1907, not 1920, like it was federally, Atlanta, on the topic, and like you mentioned, you know, has always been the transportation hub. It's always been the, you know, food hub from outside people, you know, like Atlanta is where anything is. It's where all the major league sporting teams are. And for beer, you know, it won't shock you, was no different. As soon as Prohibition ended, you know, Georgia being Georgia, it was 33 federally. It wasn't actually till 35 in Georgia that they repealed the amendment and accepted it. And so really just kind of fast forward, there were three breweries after 35 that opened up until 68. Pabst actually put a brewery in South Georgia, Perry, Georgia. And it was a really big deal. Our governor at the time, Lester Maddox, was certainly not an advocate for alcohol, was actually extremely against alcohol. But at the time, 1968, it was going to be a $40 million facility. It was going to bring 600 jobs. And as the governor, it was like, what can I say? Like, I have to let, you know, them come. And so then fast forward, 79, Jimmy Carter passes the Cranston Act, federally legalizing home brewing, which again, Georgia being Georgia, didn't actually accept until 95, 18 years after the fact, even though, you know, that's Jimmy Carter's our one claim to presidential fame. But, you know, it was really the 90s, all that to say, the quick, you know, spitball of dates. It was the 90s when Atlanta, you know, still was the spot. There were a few early ones, Dogwood Brewing, Marthasville Brewing in the early to mid 90s. And then in 97, Sweetwater opened here, which is, you know, another national brand at this point. I believe, according to the BA last year, I think they actually hit top 10 for production for the indie folks. So they opened in 97. And kind of on the heels of that, all around to the turn of the century, you see breweries in Atlanta popping up. Certainly not super often, but, you know, there's definitely a few followers here and there. At the time, though, Georgia had a law to where our ABV limit was at 6% alcohol. And so all of the beers produced here had to be under that limit, obviously. And in 2004, that was changed to be what it is currently, still at 14%. So when that happens, you get it's kind of small uptick in breweries open here in the mid 2000s. And then it was really around 2010 when just kind of statewide, they start kind of popping up all over the place. And ultimately it was the legislative change in 2017, which allowed for breweries to sell pints directly to the consumer. Prior to 2017, breweries had to offer a tour where they would give samples of beer to patrons instead of being able to just simply, you know, let you walk in, buy a beer, sit at a table, hang out for a little bit. And so since that law changed, that's really been kind of the big win that breweries have, you know, gotten as the industry's grown. There's certainly still things to change for the better for the breweries, definitely. But that law change really kind of saw the, you know, major uptick of, you know, Owen, I think, said earlier, now it's like there's literally a brewery a month popping up somewhere. I mean, at least one, if not two to three. I think last time I looked at it, we were looking at, I believe it was close to like 130 actual operating licenses that are in effect right now, like not including, you know, breweries and planning, that sort of thing.
I thought it was awesome when we had seven breweries. So no, I don't know what to do with myself.
So Owen, from your perspective, like what has this evolution statewide kind of been like, and whether you're including Athens specifically or just Georgia as a whole, where do you see the beer scene kind of going from here?
I just don't know where the cap is going to be. I mean, we're going to have to hit a limit of breweries pretty soon, but you know, it's kind of returned to normalcy because in the 1800s, there was a little brewery in every little town, and some
it was the watering hole. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Some little towns had two breweries, and that's where people went to hang out and get their beer, whether for medicinal use or for recreational use. And that all went away with Prohibition in World War II. And I think we're getting back to that. I'd love to see every little town in Georgia have at least a small little brewery where people can go and hang out and have fun. And Savannah has been a great example. In the 80s, when I went to Savannah, I thought, wow, this city has so much British influence. It's so beautiful and so cool and has so much history and personality, but there's just no good beer here. Everyone was drinking, you know, Bud Light and Miller Light. And I said, this place just needs some good breweries and some good pubs. And lo and behold, it took a while, but now they're there. And Savannah's leading the way in terms of craft beer in places outside of Atlanta.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, I mean, and that's one thing that I think Georgia is not the only state in the Southeast that had to get over these hurdles. And some states are still even further behind than where Georgia is much further behind. So it is not an individual issue. And it's not even just the South. You know, states all over have had individualized laws and regulations. And that's actually something that I touch on a lot of podcasts, because a lot of people don't realize that going over a certain boundary can completely change how breweries have to operate and you know, deliver and make beer and all that stuff. So it is really interesting. Owen, one question I always like to kind of ask to kind of, you know, give a synopsis of the beer scene is, do you feel that are there any specific beers that you feel best represent Athens or kind of Northwest Georgia as a whole?
That's a hard question. So many beers here are special and have their place. I love the Terrapin Rye Pale Ale. That's a cool story, and I'm glad they're starting to bring it back in little trickles, because that was my favorite thing that they ever made. Creature Comforts Tropicalia, of course, is world famous. It's, you know, been in the Marvel movies and kind of put them on the map. They can't make enough of that by far. But there were just so many good beers here. And the cool thing is the variety. Every time you go to a brewery in Athens, even the little small one like Normaltown, there's going to be something new. And they run up and say, and try this new one. We did this and this and this, and want to get your opinion on it. And it's just always a changing landscape that is just so enjoyable.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and Brandon, what about you? And you can say an authentic beer as well if you want to. That is completely your prerogative.
Yeah. I mean, I think, one of the coolest beers, it certainly hadn't caught on statewide or anything, and it is more Atlanta centric, but I do think it's kind of a cool idea that Firemaker Brewing, one of their beers that they put out, I can't remember if it, I believe it's like summertime, spring, summer. It's their Chattahooch Tea IPA that they do, that they label as like a Southeastern IPA. They mix it, with a little bit of tea, like in the, which we have a couple breweries here that kind of do some, tea beer kind of situations.
Yeah, Eagle Creek down in Statesboro has a tea beer.
Oh yeah, and like Three Taverns, they do their Lord Grey every year, which has like Lord Grey tea as one of the adjuncts in it. But yeah, I mean, that's always been something, just the way that they kind of market it as like a Southeastern IPA, I really think is kind of brilliant. And also it's something I'd really love to see kind of catch on. But I gotta definitely back up Owen on the, Terrapin Rye. It's like we've mentioned a couple times, it's a beer that they launched with, now they brew once a year, and even still 20 years later, when it comes out, it's, hey, like, people calling bottle shops, hey, do y'all have the Terrapin Rye yet? Do you, when are you gonna get your Terrapin Rye in? And also Tropicália. I mean, what, it's been in Thor's hand. So what can you say,
Right. Well, I mean, and the Terrapin Rye is also a beer that I think, like, if not nationally, for sure, regionally, people recognize as well, that it's a brand for sure that is people associate with Athens. And so my final question normally, and I realize this now towards the end here, is that I normally ask to kind of have guests give special shout outs, whether it's favorites or for whatever reason, for three breweries locally. And I think we've kind of hit on pretty much every brewery. So you're more than welcome if you want to do another little shout out for three breweries that you want to, give some extra love. Otherwise, I'm also curious if there's any other little tidbits about any of these breweries that a visitor may not have any idea about, but would be kind of a cool piece of information if they were ever to visit Brandon.
Trying to think of the which direction on the two-parter to go with first there. I think for, people visiting, especially like I mentioned earlier, there's going to be who knows how many people coming to Athens over the next couple months who don't even live here. I would just say that, if you are in town and you do visit one of the breweries, if it, especially if it's not, Creature or Terrapin, not knocking them, just, you can get your beer, you can get their beer pretty much anywhere statewide at this point. So if you are in town and you do visit one of the other breweries and you happen to have something you really like, definitely get cans of it. I know for, my brewery in particular, our can distribution is a really limited thing. We do have kegs around pretty, dispersed, but our cans are pretty limited, so something that, it kind of is nice to have that added in, kind of, you're in this, that kind of power place thing where like you're drinking the beer at the tap room, but the option is there to take it with you on your way home. You might want to, because otherwise, if you don't live here, then you might not be back in Athens for a while. In terms of giving shout outs, I think certainly there's one that I'm on the record of, shouting out pretty much anytime I get the chance. Good Word Brewing and Public House in Duluth, Georgia. It's like four, it's like 1 hour and 5 minutes from Athens. It's to me just one of the absolute best places like on this planet. I mean, their food is amazing, their beers are just absolutely stellar. Todd is the head brewer over there, Todd DiMatteo, and he just really has focused on pushing out and popularizing in our markets both English style and also just like lower ABV beers. And it's, as somebody who drives regularly 1 hour to get there, it's nice to go have a couple beers that are 3.5% a piece, and it's like, okay, like we're good to go.
Yeah,
I'm on team low ABV too.
Todd's one of my heroes. He's fantastic.
I
He does really
100%
good
agree.
cask ale as well.
Absolutely. And then, also they're kind of, it's kind of a weird one in terms of how established they are, but I feel like they very much fly under the radar, is Three Taverns Brewing. I remember, back turn of 21, a night on Ponce is kind of their flagship IPA, and it's one that, lived in my fridge more than any other IPA at the time. And they just really have always put out stellar beers. They have two locations now, and they really just, make killer beer, do all the things, have events, great spaces. They recently, back in May, did a collab with Pilsner Urquell, actually, for it was a Pilsen Liberation was the name of it. It was obviously a Czech style Pilsner, and it was one of in today's, I think both of y'all would agree with this, in today's market, it's very common to have a couple beers and then they kind of like have them, enjoy them, then they're kind of gone. That was one of the beers that I like actively thought about for a few weeks the first time I had one. Like it was insane. And then my last shout out will be Blackberry or Blackbird Farms, excuse me, Blackberry Farms. This is another brewery in Tennessee, but Blackbird Farms is in Lilburn, Georgia, which is like an hour and a half outside of Athens. 100% worth the drive, every bit of it. Even though it is all I-85, which is just awful. If for anybody not in Athens, our interstate system leaves more to be desired. But they're 100% worth the trek out there, from aesthetic to beers to quality, just across the board.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and Owen, what about you? Do you have any other final shout outs that you want to give or little list tidbits for visitors as well to Athens?
One outside of Athens, Bold Monk, my friend JR, who also owns Max Lagers, that one of the pioneering brew pubs in downtown Atlanta, opened Bold Monk just to the northwest of that, up I-75 just a bit. And it's a beautiful space, great food, all European inspired, slow pour Pilsner. His best-selling beer, which blew me away, is a triple, which I never thought a triple in this in Atlanta, Georgia, in this day and age would be his best-selling beer, but he can't keep it on the shelves. It's so good. He does a great job. That's where we do our Atlanta Cask Ale Festival every January. And I have just fallen in love with Authentic in Athens. I just took Paul and Don Skinner, two of the owners, to the UK for a week just a few days ago. They had a ball. They learned so much. I took them to Fuller's Brewery, Harvey's Brewery. They've got super inspired to try to, like Todd at Good Word, to bring some of the love of this to Athens. We've gotten together, Paul and I, and I don't know if Brandon knows this or not, but Paul and I have gotten together and come up with an English mild ale recipe that we're going to do in the coming weeks. We're not going to call it a mild. We're not going to call it a mild because it won't sell. I think we're going to call it 007 malt English dark ale. So I
Oh yeah,
think
we're
that's
looking forward to having you in, man.
right. It's going to be fun. I think that name is mysterious enough and boutique enough to get some interest, so people will buy it. And once they get a pint, they're gonna love it, because it's, for such a low gravity beer, 4% alcohol, it's gonna have a lot of flavor.
I know I'm not the only, I know I'm not who you'd be marketing this thing. I would buy it if it said English mild, just for the record. But
I would too,
I also realize that I'm not the typical drinker that is coming in either. So yeah, for sure. Well, this has been awesome, you guys. I have really enjoyed getting to chat with you, with both of you, and learn more about the Athens, Georgia beer scene. So just to kind of wrap things up here, if either of you have any other final thoughts, conclusions, why people should come down there and check it out, et cetera, although I know we've kind of hinted at that, as well as where people can find you, whether it's social media or your writing works, all that kind of good stuff, in case they need to ask for any more recommendations. Owen?
My website is brewtopia.info. I've had that going since 1994. And some of the pages on there are from 1994, and they look like they were designed in a by a middle schooler in his basement. But it's great to see the evolution of the website. I write for Southern Brew News. I do the Georgia column there and the features editor. So I love Southern Brew News. It's a nice, friendly paper full of great information. Beer Connoisseur magazine is based in Atlanta. I write for them quite a bit. So they can reach me through any of that, mainly through brewtopia.info. Again, my Classic City Brew Fest is on hold because I've done it 25 years. in Athens, and it was great. But I just can't continue to do two beer festivals a year and run beer trips to Europe. So I'm gonna give that one a little rest and still do the Atlanta Cask Ale tasting in January at Bold Monk. So you can check that out just by Googling that. And you know, the best part of Athens is Athens. It's so much fun, and it's got music and great restaurants, and the people are progressive and wonderful. The pubs are beautiful, and the Globe Bar is back open, which is where one of the places where I fell in love with craft beer back in the 90s. It was closed for a few years during COVID, after COVID, and I'm so glad it's opened again. And you know, brewery hopping is, in my opinion, is the best way to see all the best parts of a city. Because if you're going to all the best breweries in a city, you're going to see the city and you're going to meet people. And it's a great way to have an introduction to a new place, is to go and check out the craft breweries.
Well, you're kind of preaching to the choir here, because I think as my name kind of suggests, that's kind of my whole gig here. But Brandon, what about yourself?
Well, first off, would love to host you whenever you make it down here. Hopefully, you know, that'll happen at some point. Twitter, as Joel mentioned earlier, I think we both see the goods and bads of beer Twitter, and Instagram handle is at craft handler for both. And also just check out porchdrinking.com, we're a national coverage magazine. You know, cover everything from individual beer showcases to major events to breaking news to everything in between. Most of my work is on the kind of Georgia contributions, but definitely branch out here and there. And echoing Owen, I moved here in 2017 full time. And I think even in my, 5 years of being here, it's just really kind of become a place where, you know, whether you're by yourself, whether you're with a group of friends, whether you have, you know, people in town, there's certainly a place. And we're getting to the point of it being a brewery to take somebody, you know, whether it be the diviest of bars, whether it be the, you know, one of the both like best like sit down restaurant and one of the best just greasy cheeseburger spots that you want. There's a lot to this town, both, you know, again, in the music scene, the kind of art scene. It's more than just the kind of typical football college town, but you know, it's great for that too. Especially probably this year after the way things went last year, but we'll see.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, and again, I wanted to thank you both so much for coming on and chatting with me. And if you are a new listener, you can find me on Twitter at Brewery Travels, on Instagram at Brewery_Travels. You can also go to my website, thebrewerytravels.com, where you can find some old articles that I've written, interactive maps of my brewery visits, links to the podcast if you're having trouble finding it, although you should be able to find the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, yeah, Athens, definitely got to get down there at some point. I know, like I mentioned, some of those breweries I was familiar with, and now I'm more familiar with the other brewery, which is great. So again, this has been awesome. And as always, remember, whether it's where you're visiting or where you're living, be sure to drink local everywhere. I've been walking around, waiting for you to shine. Trying to keep it alive, always on the inside for a better comfort, baby.